How do you see the next like 50 or so years playing out? What type of future do you think we're headed towards?
Oh man. I think what we will see, well, first off, the immediate future, what is not talked about enough is the fourth industrial revolution that's about to explode. And that means a implementation of infrastructure, technological infrastructure that is built around nanotechnology, biotechnology, some of these more advanced quantum sciences, even with quantum computers, things that we have been sort of tracking and talking about for a while, but now they're going to start building it. I think Tesla's or not Tesla, the guy who started Tesla, I'm blanking on his name. It's too early, Josh. My brain isn't quite awake yet. What's his name? The guy who made the Elon Musk.
Oh,
Okay, Elon
right.
Musk, yeah, and his Hyperloop, right? They're building a prototype of the Hyperloop here in Southern California. So stuff like that they're building infrastructure. I reported on a video that I made a couple or last week, the year 2020, the Tokyo Olympic Games. Some of the plans they have for that is an a whole race or a whole a flood of robots in Tokyo that are going to help assist in various things, driverless taxis that can drive people around, robots to help direct people where to go. There's even going to be a robot village. It's just robots. Devices, applications to help translate, so people can communicate with one another, which goes back to the Babel idea, which is interesting. And also, they're talking about airplane flights to Japan to carry the Olympians on airplanes that have that are run by algae, which has been kind of a discussion about alternative fuel sources and stuff like that. So that's going to happen. The other part of it is that's not discussed enough is job loss. There's going to be, and it's already starting to happen, a huge segment of society that are going to be laid off and replaced by robots and computers. There's that whole recently, and I can't remember which chain fast food restaurant it was, but they're saying, "Hey, we're gonna have robots make your burgers because they're more accurate. It's faster, it's cleaner, whatever." That's going to be an interesting thing, and that's something that the politicians, all the presidents and everything, or presidential campaign and everything that's happening now, that question, the fourth industrial revolution, the technological revolution that's about to explode, and the unemployment rate that's going to skyrocket based on the replacement of these jobs with machines, it's not brought up at all. It's a very important question because it's right in front of us. Our children are probably going to be affected by it. What do we do? Do we go into some sort of major social, program where we just pay these people who are jobless just some money so they can live? I mean, what's going to happen? What are we going to be doing? So it makes me wonder, are we going to become like the movie Surrogate, where we're just, in a closet, working our avatar robot that's out in the world doing whatever, going to clubs and partying, whatever. Like, what are we going to be exactly doing? So that kind of stuff, I think less than within the next decade, I think we're going to see a lot of that. But it depends also because if there is a major setback, if there is a catastrophe of some kind, or something gets out of hand, a death of somebody, or something where certain integrative technologies don't work out, it could set stuff back because the population will say, we're not ready to have DNA alterations on all of us yet. You know, we saw this happen to this person, whatever. So that kind of thing can happen. But in 50 years, let's see, you and I will be on a porch somewhere, probably reminiscing of this conversation.
Very true. Yeah, we'll be late in our 80s.
Yeah, having robots spoon feed our medication. and we'll still try. We'll be writing. I'll be writing my first book.
Yeah, you'll still be working on it.
Still be working on it. I'm on page 10,000. I got it. And you'll be working on your 500th book. I'll be really annoyed by you. I don't know. 50. I mean, 50 years. What year is that going to be? 2066.
Yeah.
Boy, I think virtual realities are going to be everywhere. We're going to, you know, the sort of disturbing scene of the person, the human with the virtual glasses on, sitting, you know, laying out on the side, kind of looking really frail, but having an adventure in the virtual realm or whatever, that kind of thing we'll probably start seeing. I do think mainstream media does portray some of what they hope humanity will become. You know, Wall-E, you have the, you know, overweight, we're sitting in chairs, our bones don't even do anything anymore because we're just, you know, lazy. That kind of scenario is a possibility. There's a book called The Utopia Chronicles, which is a fiction. It's a science fiction book, and it's written by I think Matthew Mather, who's, you know, he's just a secular guy, but he projects that in the future, in the near future, we will exist in multiple sort of layers of virtual reality. So we will have our physical body, but our physical bodies will be almost overtaken by what we would call a proxy. And basically what it would do is keep us breathing. You know, if we need to go to the restroom, we can do that or whatever, but we won't really be where we are. Our minds, so to speak, will be in other virtual realms doing different things. And that sort of depiction of what's going on in Utopia Chronicles is a strong possibility of how things might work out. But I think the biggest thing, the most plausible scenario, in my opinion, if, you know, again, if the Lord tarries and things continue, is what Dr. Hugo de Garis outlines, which is a class warfare. And he, you know, outlines the cosmists, the Terrans, and the cyborgists, which basically are three different classes of humans that will arise from this technological revolution, the have and the have-nots, the gap will be widened. And in the same way that humanity has had, you know, slavery in throughout our history, the ideas of eugenics that has, you know, not too much in the past, you know, in the last century, all these ideas I think will play out in a much more tangible and almost kind of scary way, because, you know, I've talked about it, and Richard Dolan brought it up, but the phrase breakaway civilization, you know, is currently used in the sense of, you know, there's probably an elite group that got their hands on a large amount of money after World War II, and they started developing technologies that would blow our minds today. And they're literally a civilization that is apart from the rest of us. Yeah, that's possible in sort of the conspiracy kind of mindset, but I think we're going to see the reality, a true civilization, a human civilization that is apart from the rest of humanity, very much like the movie Gattaca, mm-hmm. where, you know, there's a whole class and they're genetically modified, and you have to, you know, you're tied into this system. And if you're not born into it, if you're not tied into that system, then you have problems in society. So I truly think that is going to become more and more prominent. It's an endeavor that even Dr. James Hughes, who, you know, I watched hours of his conversation with Tom Horn when I was making Inhuman, One of the things that he's really focused on is this sort of class warfare problem that will arise. And he looks at the job thing too, but really it's the class thing. I mean, people that have money, people that have access to the resources, they're the ones that are going to be enhanced and, you know, genetically modified and, you know, replacement of limbs, replacement of the body even. So it's a very interesting thing to consider, but what are we looking at when we're talking about reality? You know, I think prophetically it lines up perfectly with what we read about with the mark of the beast and the image of the beast and the consequences of people who take that being unredeemable. I think there is some precedence there. It almost fits like a glove, you know, and the question of what it means to be human is questioned and broken down. And, you know, we don't even know anymore. In the secular world, they have whole conferences, philosophical conferences. What does it mean to be human? I mean, have we really gotten to that point where we don't know what it means to be human? You know, it takes a human to ask that question, which is the ironic part there. But I think a continued decay of values, moral values, the family. These are things that I think have been attacked for a long time, but I think we'll see more of that and exponentially grow to a point where, again, a rift in civilization. I'm prayerful that it doesn't lead to what Dr. Hugo de Garis calls gigadeath, which is a billion deaths because of this clash and this war. But I got to admit, it's a possible thing if you're starting to talk about a true sort of revolutionary war between your Terrans who are saying, hey, let's stay human. Let's stay human how we were created. And then your cosmists who just want to embrace it all, right? You know, inject the nanobots or whatever. And then the cyborgists who are in between, they're sort of, hey, well, let's enhance humanity with these machines, but not necessarily, you know, become not human anymore. So I think there is some precedence there, and I think it's interesting. We got to keep our finger on the pulse. But the more I talk about this, the more I just pray, Jesus, come back, because stuff's going to get really bizarre.